The second question is like a very interesting question. This happens to us all the time. Somebody found 20 years ago a Megillah, which was just left lying around, and they asked around. They said, "Is anybody own it?" Nobody came forward. Nobody stepped forward, and they kind of like did what we all do in these situations, which is like we kind of just put it in the drawer, right? We put it in the closet, and we hope that somebody's going to come. And then it comes time to move, and you have to empty out the drawer. And you realize that 20 years later, obviously nobody's come. But the question is can you use it? And this happens in many permutations. We have lots of these things. We still have a tablecloth in our closet, which we've taken for across four different moves of houses, which we still have in our closet, and we have no idea who it belongs to. So what do you do in such a situation? If you have a lost item, which has never been claimed, it's distinct to a certain degree, but
is just have
that? Excellent question.
Is it usable?
So it is usable.
So they give it to one of those organizations?
No. So here's the question. So Rosemary, it's a good question. So here is the issue. So he's right. There's nobody who's gonna come and claim it at this point in time. But here is the problem. There's a very famous sugya in Bava Metzia. It's so famous that this is oftentimes the first Gemara that young boys learn in fifth grade. And it's the beginning of Eilei Metzios. And it deals with this, the following argument which happens between Rav and Abaya, one of the six very important machlokes in between Abaya and Rav, which is what's called Yal Kagam, where we paskin in this situation, unlike the default, we paskin like Abaye, usually paskin like Rava. And this situation is called Yush Shalomidas. What is Yush Shalomidas? The Hasidic masters say Yush Shalomidas means to say that Yush, which means giving up hope, is Shalomidas, is never in a state of a firm mind because there's never giving up hope. But on the technical explanation of what that actually means, it's the following situation. The way it works, the first mission and the second paragraph of Metzia called Eilei Metzios describes that there's a difference between an object which has a siman and does not have a siman. So therefore, as an example, let's take a very clear example in the Mishnah. The Mishnah says that, let's say I have a homemade bread or a bakery standard bread that I find in the Rosh HaRabim, that I find lying around. If it's a bakery standard, I'm allowed to keep it. It has no siman because it's standard production. There's no way for you to tell me that this is your one that you bought because it could have easily been somebody else who bought it. There's a production line, and so there's no way to identify. But if it were to be a home-baked bread, then I would have to announce that I couldn't keep that because why? It's got a siman. What does the siman make a difference? The answer is because the owner knows it has a siman and therefore still holds in their mind the possibility of being able to reclaim it, and therefore you're not allowed to keep it. That's what the Mishnah says. Now, that's all very clear, but that's usually not how it works. Why? Because the situation that we deal with more is the Yush Shalomidas situation. What's the Yush Shalomidas? Is when I find an object which, technically speaking, doesn't really have enough of a siman, but the owners will find out, and when they do find out, they will most likely give up hope. But at this point in time, they haven't yet given up hope. Do you say that at the time when they do find out, then retroactively, when they say, oh my goodness, I spent 3 weeks looking, I just can't find it, that's it, you know, so long and goodbye, I'll get another one. At that point in time, you've had it for 3 weeks. Do you say that Yush retroactively works? So at the point in time that I collected it, it's now as if the owners have given up hope already? Or do I say that? No. In the end of the day, that Yush Shalomidas lo yhavi Yush. It's not considered Yush because of the time, what's called Be'isura Baliyode. It entered your domain in a state of Isra because at that point in time, the owners were not cognizant enough to be able to relinquish control of it. We paskin, Yush Shalomidas lo yhavi Yush. We paskin that if I find something which is not yet, or at least doubtfully, that the owners have given up hope, then in such a situation, I'm not allowed to use it. I'm not allowed to keep it, which is makes things very complicated, right? Which makes things very complicated. This is not the, we'll call the intuitive way that we would look at things. Now, there are exceptions to this. So for instance, the Gemara brings at least two daf of questions backwards and forwards, and there are many things that we know do not fall into this category. The things that people know immediately that they've lost. What are things that people know they lost immediately?
Keys,
money, right? When it comes to most basic foods are included in this. When a person loses, the poets can talk about, let's say, pens. When it comes to what are other examples of? Well, glasses are a little more specific because of the prescription, you know. So in that case, I'm not going to just to drop them. Let's say a child's bottle, a pacifier. These are the kind of things that people know about pretty soon. let's say a watch, which is, you know, a pen, a newspaper. These kind of things. You find that you can keep that no problem. Why? The assumption is that the person who lost them, no doubt, immediately was aware of it. By the time you found it, there was yush, and it comes into your hands, your possession, in a state of hetera. But
so, Rabbi,
when it comes to, yes.
Aren't there objects that we should use, even though, so they won't get...
Very good. Yeah, hang on. So hang on for a second. So suppose the next version becomes like this. So let's say I find something before the stage of yush, or it has a simon, right? So let's say it has a distinguishable simon, or it doesn't have a simon, but it's not likely that they would have known about this. And then, by the way, think about this for Megillah for a moment. You know, what this happens, let me do an experiment. Where are your lulavs for a second? Your lulavs, right? So now, some people put their lulavs on top of the Arunach Kodesh and so on. But other people, where's your lulav? A lot of people, it's where you left it on Rosh Hashanah Rabbah. It hasn't moved right since last year. Now, some people, they'll remember on Erev Pesach to take it out and they'll burn it with the chametz. But if for 6 months, it probably won't move from there unless you're making esrog jam or wine, right? Or you're making the besamim with your esrog. Why? Is because when the mitzvah's finished, to a large time, the next thing's happening and then life and work and we become busy and you don't think about it. So it's the same thing with that Megillah, right? You know, you find the Megillah after Purim. The person's probably used it. Isn't thinking about it. When's the next time they're going to think about it? Erev Purim, next year. Right? So when you receive this, clearly the person was not thinking about, oh my goodness, I can't find my Megillah. And in the meantime, right, so you've been sitting with a year. So what do you do in such a situation? So the Gemara says, Yehemunach ad sheyovo Eliyahu. Right? So the Gemara says, so it says, when you say your Ani Mamins about Mashiach, you really mean it. Because then the thing is, so what do you do during this period? So Paul pointed out, let's say it's something which requires some degree of upkeep, right? So let's say it was a donkey. It needs to be fed, right? So the Gemara discusses in situations like that where I'm allowed to start using it. If it's something which needs money to be invested in, I can use it and feed it and so on. And then the question becomes where the proceeds go to in the middle. But in our situation, the Megillah is not eating anything, doesn't need too much upkeep. So what do you do in these situations? So if it's something, it's going to. But at the same time, it belongs to somebody else. So am I allowed to do a mitzvah of somebody else's thing, object? And the answer in this case is yes. In this case, it actually happens to be unique. Why? Because there's a basic tacit halachic assumption, which has got nichalei leinish, lavi mitzvah b'mamone, that I, even though perhaps I haven't found it. I do, if I were to be asked, I would want somebody else to be doing a mitzvah with my object. You know where this comes up in situations? Is when it comes to tefillin, right? So there's an example, when it comes to tefillin, if your tefillin lying around, you come into a shul, and you have no access to it, to tefillin, the shul does not have an extra set of tefillin. Can you use somebody else's lying around? There's no one to ask. You're allowed to, because the default assumption is that person will want to do it. Similarly, let's say when I give a talis to another man who wants to wear it, can he say a brach on it? So the answer is yes. My standard is I want to give it to him in a way that he can acquire it, that he should be able to say the bracha matana manas lahachzir. Similarly with the lulav as well, there's a basic assumption that you want to do mitzvah with mamone, which means that in this situation, this is the situation about a lot of items that have functionality, is what you're supposed to do is you wait a little while. You wait the three regalim at the time, and you make the announcement, you put up the signs. No one comes. Okay, no one came. So then you say, look, no one's coming, but it entered my hand, be'isura. And nothing's ever going to change that it entered my hand, be'isura. So that's the problem. So what you do is you evaluate the amount of money that it costs, and you write down a note. You write on your in some place that you're not going to lose that this Megillah costs, you know, $500, whatever this Megillah costs, and you set it aside so that if in 25 years' time you meet the person who happened to be in the shul who left the Megillah, you will give them the $500 of what that, or that Megillah is worth, and then you can use it. And then you can use it as a karagil with the assumption that you'll be able to pay it back under those circumstances. And that would be the way to abide by this as well. Happens to be that when I returned the answer to this person, guess what? They couldn't find the Megillah. It disappeared from the closet. So that actually answered it by itself. But a very fascinating thing. This is something one has to be careful about, is because this does not work based on natural intuition, which is that, okay, at a certain point there is a we'll call it a statute of limitation. No, if it's Yisur Baliyadeh, that it's not so simple to get rid of that. There is a suggestion, just by the way, of the Ramban, and I'll just make this observation, and that is that when a lost object, you encounter a lost object, you're not allowed to just ignore it, right? So the Torah tells us, that you have to do what you can, because you are put in the circumstance to be able to return it to the owners. But at the same time, if you're going to be entering into a situation like this, where you could potentially be stuck with an object for all, you know, and until Be'ezra Hashem, tomorrow when Mashiach comes, so then the question is, so how do you pick it up? So the Ramban says maybe it would be safe in those situations to pick up the object and say, I'm not acquiring this, I'm taking on a guardianship of this object until such time as there will be natural yush. So, for instance, with the Megillah, the Ramban says it would be a better idea to pick up the Megillah and say, I'm going to be the shomer of this Megillah till next year Purim, as an example, when the person will definitely realize, and if they don't come forward, then there'll be yush, and at that point to acquire it, to avoid entering into a situation where be isura bali yodeh, and then one has to sort of have this yemunach situation, or actually write down how much it's worth to be able to use it as well. Very fascinating halacha, very lesser known halacha as well. And this is, there's actually a sefer called Sefer Hashavas Aveda Kehilchasa, which is worthwhile knowing about, which is written very, very excellent. And I thank Eretz Chemda, the Eretz Chemda based in system for the Ha'or on this particular issue as well. Rabbi, so this is these